At the top of our show, changes may be in store for special education students and teachers. Here in Michigan, lately the Michigan Department of Education has been getting public comment on a host of proposed rules changes that govern special education. They include giving local school districts more authority over special education staffing, also how Michigan evaluates special education students, and then how they customize students' individual education plans, labeled IEPs. Now, two public meetings on the rules changes, one in Detroit, one here in Lansing, are scheduled for this afternoon. The period to comment via email ends this Thursday. Current State offers several perspectives on the proposed changes today. First, we turn to Vanessa Kiesler. Vanessa is a deputy superintendent for the Michigan Department of Education, which is proposing the rules changes. Welcome, Vanessa.
Thank you, Mark.
A little context first here. How often does the Department of Education propose a series of changes like this? Is this an annual thing or less often?
These are not annual changes. It's a periodic updating and review of our Michigan administrative rules for special education to determine alignment with the federal IDEA laws. So this is, I believe we did the last rules update maybe 5 or 6 years ago. So it's not every year, but periodically, so we can ensure alignment with the federal regulations.
Okay. Now, there are altogether about 8 or 10 proposed rule changes. In layperson's terms, Vanessa, which 2 or 3 of them would you say are most impactful?
The goal with all these rules, Mark, is to ensure that Michigan students and Michigan students with disabilities in particular have the highest quality education and service that they can, and that we provide that as easily as possible. I think the couple rules that are most impactful, you mentioned that there was some changes to staffing. We have enhanced the rules to require that ISDs and local districts review their staffing to make sure they have the right kind of expertise in their staff to meet the needs of their students with disabilities in their district. So if there's been a number of more students with autism diagnoses, for example, do you have appropriate staffing to meet the autism needs of students in your district? I think the other key change, one of the other key changes, is we are looking at how you do the whole process of evaluation of need of the students and getting to that individualized education program, trying to streamline that process, make sure that parents are involved throughout the whole process in many ways, and that students get those special, unique services. That's what makes special education special, is you have a unique plan for every student.
Let's zero in a little bit more closely on these individualized education plans, the IEPs, and this evaluation process. Could you walk us briefly through the process as it currently plays out, involving parents and their children, when they go from suspecting their child might need extra help to actually getting an IEP?
Mm-hmm. So there's a process to gather input, evaluate the needs of the child, and then actually write the plan. And these rules changes try to bring that process more into alignment and make it quicker. So the proposed changes would have a team of individuals. There's rules about who has to be on that team. It always includes the parent, who would meet and evaluate what the child's needs are. And then based on that, that would eventually lead to, if the parent consents, that would lead to an IEP team developing the actual IEP.
And how does that differ from what's happening now?
Right now, we're not proposing any changes to the fact that we need a team to evaluate the needs of the child and then get to the IEP. It brings the process, it removes a step from the process. You don't have to have necessarily 2 teams meet to do this. It makes it more efficient to get the services to the students.
Now, some of your critics here, some of the critics of the changes, I won't say your critics, but critics of the changes, are also concerned that they maintain that aligning state standards with federal standards is really code for cuts, since They maintain state standards exceed federal standards currently. Is that true? Do Michigan special education rules currently offer safeguards that the federal standards don't?
In general, no. Alignment doesn't mean lowering standards for Michigan. There are a few places in the rules where our requirements were different than the federal requirements, and so we wanted to bring those into alignment. But sometimes the federal requirements also increase or change. And so it's alignment is really just making sure that Michigan is following the federal IDEA law, as well as what the Michigan special education community needs for Michigan students.
Let's return to the staffing issue here briefly as well. Critics are concerned that over the increasing authority districts apparently will have to reduce special education staffing. You talked about an increase scenario, but they seem to be more concerned about the opposite trend. First of all, do you expect the rule change will result in reduced staffing as well?
No, and actually the special education caseloads, the requirements for those are set out elsewhere in law. So this change is to require that they review their staffing to possibly increase or to tailor their staffing. Again, if you are staffed to provide special education services to a certain population of special education students and that population changes, then you won't be well equipped to meet the individual needs of those students.
Are you saying the caseloads guidelines are in the federal law or in the IDEA law?
They are specified in Michigan law elsewhere.
In Michigan law. Now, to what extent, Vanessa, are these rules changes triggered by budget pressures in districts?
These rules changes are not in response to budget pressures. We spent 18 months in the field talking with parents, talking with special education community, talking with administrators of special education and ISDs and locals, and looking at what's in the federal criteria and also looking at what's in our rules and saying what could be better, what could be different. It really is an iterative process meant to enhance service provision to students with disabilities. And actually, that's why we're in the public comment period right now. This is a critically important part of the process where we ask the public to reflect and provide feedback so that we can make any modifications before these become actual administrative rule.
Can you see how advocates, though, might see a red flag with regard to the staffing issue, for example, if a staff of special education teachers could go down, I think they're inclined to link that with budget pressure. You're saying that is a misunderstanding of the proposed rules changes?
Yes, it is not meant to say reduce your staffing or let's increase caseloads to balance the budget. The point is to say you need to have the appropriate staff levels for the needs of students with disabilities in your district, and you need to review that annually so that you do have those right resources for those students.
And how would you generally describe the response of special education teachers and administrators so far to the proposed rules changes? You have been taking emails, you have been taking conventional mail. What's the response been?
In terms of the official public comment, we are really excited about the great response we've had to public comment. We've had just a phenomenal response. We used a new system this year because we wanted more feedback from the public, and we've actually, to date, we have over 1,000 responses through that system, as well as a small number through email and regular mail. We will review all the public comment when it's in. In general, right now, it seems like people are engaging with the rules and interested in them and mostly positive, but, you know, again, we need to review the comment very individually, all 1,000 of them or more. But in the past 18 months, working with the field and doing this outside of the official public comment period, in general, the special education community that we've been working with is supportive of the changes. We have some very good, and this is where public comment is great, we have some very good specifics from, for instance, I know the Michigan Protection Advocacy Service agencies on Next. They have some very specific feedback, which we appreciate it when our stakeholders engage with us on that. But overall, people are supportive of the changes. We look forward to reviewing public comment to make final determinations.
We want to thank you for joining us here today. Vanessa Kiesler is a deputy superintendent for the Michigan Department of Education, which is proposing a series of 8 to 10 rules changes as to how special education is administered here in Michigan. Vanessa, thank you.
Thank you.
Let's turn now to a couple of other guests for their perspectives on the rules changes. Mark McWilliams is an attorney for the Michigan Protection and Advocacy Service, MPAS. MPAS is a nonprofit organization designated by the governor to advocate and protect the legal rights of people with disabilities in Michigan. Welcome, Mark.
Good morning, Mark. I'm glad to be here.
Some of your concern stems from proposed changes to these procedures. Let's zero in on the evaluations here, first of all. Each of these procedures involves every Michigan special education student. Number one, the time taken to evaluate each student's proficiency. And then second, the IEP, the individualized education plan that's designed for that student. Why are you concerned about that process?
Well, rules have three purposes. One is they are law. That means that they have the effect of law, just as if the legislature had passed them. They set the agenda for enforcement. That is, when the state or the federal government decides to enforce the rules, that is what they enforce is what's written in the rules. And the third is they create a public perception. There are hundreds of school districts in Michigan. There are thousands of professionals that are working hard to serve students with disabilities in Michigan. And the word on the street is often just as important as what the rules actually say and how the Department of Education can interpret them. So turning to the evaluation process, the current process takes about 62 school days from the time a parent makes a written request for an evaluation to when services actually begin. And there are a lot of ifs in there. That is, if a team meets and decides that a child has a disability, they then do an evaluation, they create an individualized education program. Right now, it's about 62 school days. By our calculation in the proposed rules, it's split differently now, but the total number of days, we think, is reduced to 50 school days. But that assumes a number of things. It assumes that services will begin immediately when an IEP team decides that the IEP is ready to go. That's not explicit in the rules. We think that it's implied by federal law, but so there are a lot of ifs. I mean, I think that what that means to me is, and what it means my concern is that, yes, if the rules are read a certain way, you can have a better outcome for students in that they get services sooner. But if they're not read that way, and if there's a possible way you can read them different ways, the outcomes might not be as good.
Let's bring in another guest right now. Marcy Lipset is a longtime grassroots advocate for persons with disabilities and is the founder and co-chair of the Michigan Alliance for Special Education. She is advocating against the rules changes. Welcome, Marcy.
Good morning.
Let's zero in on the evaluation and IEP piece of these proposed rules changes. I mean, the MDE maintains that this will shorten the timeline and actually improve results, better evaluations, and better plans. What's your response to that claim?
My response, there are two parts to that response. The first response is I do not believe the evaluations will be better with the removal of the multidisciplinary evaluation team. It will reduce the individuals and experts involved in evaluating. The second part of this is that if they were simply proposing, as they are, to restrict the evaluation timeline to 30 school days and not give school districts the opportunity to extend those, which is what they can currently do, I would be perfectly supportive of it. However, they're proposing to remove the actual individualized educational program team meeting from the new school day timeline. And that, I believe, is going to frankly be very dangerous, very misunderstood, and wreak havoc. 57 ISD sent a flyer out last Thursday trying to explain the rules, and in their flyer, it states that they do not know how this is going to work at the local level. Personally, I'm a parent and an advocate. I believe this will remove parents from the evaluation eligibility process, and especially the process of crafting the IEP, which is this legally binding document with all of these rules that guides and governs how a child receives meaningful educational benefit and a free, appropriate public education.
Mark McWilliams, how much of Marcy Lipset's concerns do you share?
I share the concerns that these rules can be interpreted differently. I do believe that there is certainly federal law that requires that IEP teams include certain people, that there are protections under federal law for the process to occur with the participation of parents. But one of the three things that rules do is they create a public perception, and the perception can be important.
But what is the reality here as far as you are concerned, Mark? Do you feel that this multidisciplinary team approach is going to be seriously weakened if these proposed changes go through?
The term multidisciplinary evaluation team is no longer in the rules. If that's interpreted to say we don't need a team anymore, that would be a problem. The members of the teams are still specified in the law. And so although the phrase multidisciplinary team disappears, each time there is an evaluation, there has to be an evaluation by someone.
Marcy, let's move on to some of your other concerns. I mean, on your website, you go so far as to say that together these changes would be catastrophic. Tell us more, please.
Oh, I absolutely believe they're catastrophic. The Michigan Department of Ed has continued to sell these revisions as technical changes to align with federal law. And most people don't realize the nuance of align. When you say you are aligning with a federal law, any federal law, you are reducing your state rules because your state-imposed rules exceed the minimum required in federal law. So these changes are not technical. They are substantive. And there are new rules added. So, for example, there's a new rule added that would expand the authority of our intermediate school districts and our local school districts to review and to determine special education staffing annually. And the department has asserted that I'm misunderstanding that, and I would challenge that by the nature of the definition of determine, this will allow ISDs and school districts to not only determine, but to expand and increase the number of children on special education teacher caseloads. We already have a problem going back to 2002 with the ISD authority under the rule that is being proposed for further revision. In 2002, a new rule passed allowing ISDs, the intermediate school districts, to override and to create their own special education programs and services. And not one ISD has used this opportunity since 2002 to reduce the number of children in a special education program or to create capacity for children that we already underserve. This rule has been used for budgetary purposes. It has been used absolutely to balance the budget on the backs of the kids and, frankly, their teachers. So from my perspective, reading the rules, the combination of allowing ISDs to override the special ed programs and services, coupled with this new proposed rule that will allow the ISDs and districts to review and determine staffing annually, is catastrophic. It will basically give many children no reason to attend school because it just won't be meaningful.
Mark McWilliams, Vanessa Kiesler of the Department of Education, what I heard her say was essentially downplay the impact of alignment with federal standards. Where do you stand on that? Is aligning with federal standards compromising our current system?
Michigan has its own special education law. The current law complies with federal law. That is, it's consistent. So,
but does it exceed the federal
it
law?
It does.
Okay.
Yes, it does. It does.
So alignment, is alignment, to your way of thinking, compromising the current system.
It reduces protections.
Okay. Marcy, to what extent are rules changes triggered by budget pressures in districts? Do you feel that that is a motivation for some of these proposed rules changes?
I believe it's twofold again. I believe budgets are part of it, but frankly, Governor Snyder, he promised that he was going to go department by department and eliminate any state rule that exceeds any federal law. And from conversations with some MDE supervisors last fall, he had the department tied up for weeks looking at these rules. So I simply tell people, if you love him or you hate him, he's keeping his promise. He is working to reduce the state rules. And that simply, and then ultimately, that does reduce your appropriation, because under Michigan's Headley Amendment, any state-imposed rule has to be funded by the state. So as you erode your state-imposed rules that exceed, you are reducing the amount of money that has to be appropriated. And that's always been a bone of contention for school districts, rightly so, that they have not received enough money for special education. At the state level, their bone has always been that the federal government has not met its obligation to fund 40% of special education and only funds about 17%. So the funding has always been a problem, but there really are other ways to look at the budget crisis in school districts in Michigan. There are answers to some of this.
Mark, is there a way, briefly, we're just about out of time, is there a way to fairly streamline special education operations in Michigan?
Well, I think we can streamline more than special education. I think we could centralize purchasing in this state for everything that is purchased to run our schools. Instead of some of these consortiums, I think we could do it statewide.
Let's get Mark McWilliams' take on that one, too.
Yes, students with disabilities are students first. You start by making sure that they are included into general education settings and see how they can get the supports they need.
All right, we want to say thanks to both of our guests, Mark McWilliams of MPAS and Marcy Lipsett, who is with the Michigan Alliance for Special Education, MPAS, the Michigan Protection and Advocacy Service. Once again, two public sessions today, opinion gathering sessions today involving proposed rules changes to special education here in the state of Michigan, one of them here in Lansing, the other in Detroit. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.